We invite you to listen and grow to this Blow Out Business and Lifestyle Magazine show with hosts Paul and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership and lifestyle.
Skilling you softly to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
Boom! Hello and welcome back to the show. Yes, it's me, Paul Rees, on UK Health Radio with my partner in crime. That would be my wife. Ah, my partner in crime, my wife.
Don't bring me into your stuff.
But you are, you're my partner in crime.
No, you're the crime.
You
I'm just
walked
the
down the aisle and you said, till death do us part.
Oh, God, forgive me.
Partner in crime! Anyway, here I am, and it's been a couple of weeks. Johan gave me a sabbatical? Is that what it's called, Deb?
In America.
I would say. In this country, we call it a bit of a respite.
Yeah, a little break.
Yes, I've had about 8 weeks, and thank you for all that's been patient with me. We've done a few reruns, and listen, sometimes a little bit of respite is necessary. I had a chat with Johan. In fact, I was kind of crying. I'm stressed, and he said, "Paul, you need to take a little bit of time out of everything." And basically, I've been hiking, backpacking, bike touring, and everything else these last kind of 8 weeks, and I'm still in the thick of it.
You are lovely. You're like a, I don't know, you've got a home away from home somewhere.
Well, I'm on the verge of purchasing now a tent box for the roof of my car so I can extend my canvas home from what is a wild, I have a, what they call it? It's called a hilliberg. I have a hilliberg tent. Oh my word, that tent can stand up to anything. And of course, now I'm about to get a roof tent, which is like a 60-second pop-up, and off I go again.
You know, you always sound like Gaston from Belle and Gaston,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was Gaston. It was Gaston. It was, absolutely. And here's the thing is that, you know, what have I learned in the last...
Beauty and the Beast, yes. Which is happening right here and right now, the Beauty and the Beast.
True. I mean, I think I'm the beast. I've come back. I've got a cold sore. I mean, a cold sore is such a small, powerful thing to have on your lip, isn't it?
It really is.
I mean,
it can ruin your life.
Oh, it's less than a half a centimeter in size, but it feels like I've got this giant crustacean hanging off my face. And then I messaged my sister Linda this morning and said, "How are you, Lynn?" She said, "Look at this." She sent me a photo of hers. Oh, bless, it's like a bunch of chickens hanging off her face. It's like, oh my word, how does that happen? We spend a weekend, you know, camping and all those wild things and come home with these big things.
I know, they do feel bigger than what they are.
Yeah.
Or a nightmare.
It's like a germ travels through the air, isn't it? What's the right word for cold sore?
Well, it's not hepatitis. It's...
Oh. Herpes?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
I have herpes on my lip. I don't have. It's going. But anyway, come back in, listeners. Firstly, thank you for being patient. It's great to be here. It's great to be back. And I'm going to talk about the importance of actually taking a respite in your life, what that feels like. Because very few people actually, I feel, have the audacity, courage, authenticity, self-love, self-gratitude, all these words we can muster up to take in a bit of time out, taking self-time out, taking actual time out where you are purposefully not resting, but recharging your mind.
In whichever way a person recharges, because the way you recharge is very different to the way I do.
True.
It's whatever works for you.
Yeah. Well, my recharge, again, these last couple of weeks has been basically getting myself into nature, shoes off, walking on the grass and you know, putting my tent up in corners of my country that's got no civilization. Is that the word?
It was partly the word.
Go on, give it for our listeners.
Civilization.
Civilization, yes. So it's been nothing. And I'm in the middle of it. I don't feel yet, listeners, I'm truly back. I feel I'm still learning a lot about myself. Some of the biggest learnings have been the reality of my last 20 years and how I felt I've been very authentic to myself, but actually have not. The desperation of wanting to be liked, loved. The desperation of wanting to be successful. The desperation of just plowing on the same hamster wheel as everybody else and thinking that that's the correct way to go. I basically got me a point 6 months ago where I just started to deteriorate emotionally very quickly. But the last 6 months of rehab, I will say, and rehab for me has been basic, as I say, shoving a backpack on and walking for sometimes up to 4 days at a time. And while camping within that and taking all my food and bathroom kit and everything that I needed to stay out there has been a big part of my inner journey. And do you know when I heard that word so many times, inner journey, it almost wanted to got me nausea, because I'm like, oh, not another one of those inner journey stories, please. I've had enough of them. You know, the word inner journey is so oversold, like authenticity and
wellness
and wellness, yes, and all those things. Those words are so oversold, and I thought, but you know what, it actually had meaning to me. I'm gonna say one of my biggest insights over the last 6 months came from a conversation. Well, actually, I'm gonna double back. I had a conversation with you, Deb, many times, and I've analyzed your acceptance to others in life.
Mm-hmm.
All of our marriage, but I always saw it as a weakness. Always saw it as, you know, when you accept people for who they are and it still has a cause and effect in your life, I thought that's just a weakness. Why should we have to do that? But I've realized there is a shape to acceptance that you have that I was misshaping from my own disappointment of where I was in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm still working on that. And I've realized, listeners, that acceptance is far more than what I thought it was. And now I have, and again, a conversation, watching Deb, but a conversation with my sister on her backpacking weekend. She really gave me another layer into what acceptance is. And because I guess it didn't come from my wife, it came from somebody else.
So it was deaf ears with me.
Well, no, but it was just put in a very different way that word has ferociously changed my health, my emotional health.
Because acceptance doesn't mean that people can walk all over you, doesn't mean that you have to have, you know, where you accept anything people throw at you. It's about accepting the person for who they are. And if who they are doesn't resonate with you as a person, or if who they are is hurting you or abusing you, then no, you don't accept that. You just accept them for who they are and remove yourself.
Yeah.
So there's a balance with it, isn't there?
There is. You know, at first when we're going to bang on about this today, listeners, okay, is the word acceptance, because I don't want to make what I feel something you have to feel, but I want to suggest get a layer and understanding to the power of this word acceptance. And, you know, for me, when I first understood it, and this is only going back about 4 weeks ago, when I first understood it, instantly brought a lightening, our lighter feel to myself of, wow, when you have an acceptance of someone, that means you're not expecting anything more than what they are. That was the big thing for me. And also, you're no longer carrying a blame culture for who they are, because you accept who they are.
Right.
But within that acceptance can then, well, if you accept who they are, that doesn't mean you have to then also have them in your life.
Right.
That was a big thing for me also. Mm-hmm. That layer came after.
Oh, you can have them in your life if you're accepting them for who they are and it's not abusive in any way, but mm-hmm. they're just who they are.
Yeah.
You know, say like it's your mum or your dad, or, you know, I had to have acceptance for, and I got acceptance for my mum for just who she was.
Yeah.
You know, I could still be around her, I could still love her, but I wasn't expecting anything from her. And I wasn't expecting anything different from that. When, you know, you have to accept people for who they are, because ultimately they're not going to give you anything different because it's who they are.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to just... Well, you don't have to, but you accept them for who they are. You don't expect anything different from them. And when you don't expect anything different from someone, if it's a close family member, you can love them more because you're not expecting it. You're not expecting anything from them or anything different.
And that was a big one for me also, mm-hmm. was it, I found that I wasn't then giving my energy to try and change something mm-hmm. that I couldn't change in right. a person.
Right.
And even now, I am now relationship, our marriage, mm-hmm. you know, I'm finding that the acceptance of certain things within that, it's like, Paul, it's none of your business at the end of the day. But if you accept it and you find that it doesn't resonate or it doesn't add to the love or doesn't add to the purpose of why you're with this person, then you have to look at it again.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we were talking also about, nope, it's gone, Paul.
Okay. Well, on that note,
I'm my menopausal brain.
Let me just do this, listeners. I'm going to take you into a little bit of who I am, what I do. Please bear with me. It's just 60 seconds. Have a little listen and we'll see you on the other side of this for sure. Happy days. At Out There Life TV, we turn real life journeys into powerful, professionally produced documentaries. Whether you've led a quiet family life filled with wisdom, overcome adversity, exited the life of crime, built a business from scratch, or walked the road to recovery, your story deserves to be told. Your life story has an evergreen value. Through intimate interviews and cinematic storytelling, we honour your legacy with authenticity and heart. Because your life is a one-of-a-kind fingerprint with value that lasts forever. With our dedicated team, you will create your own 6-part documentary series that your loved ones will cherish for decades. Out There Life TV, your life, your story on film. Visit our website at outtherelifetv.com to start your journey today. Happy days and welcome back, guests, and thank you for listening to my quick commercial there. And we are talking about acceptance. If you just joined us, listeners, welcome. It's great for me to be back. I've been a couple of weeks, you, there and everywhere. And
everywhere and nowhere, baby.
That's where you're at. There you go, Deb. So, let's think about this. Let's think about your life, listeners, and think about who you are in your life and whether you are, one, trying to change those for what you need from them or whether they're trying to change you from what they need from yourself. And then look at the word, think about the word acceptance, because acceptance is two ways. One, do I accept that person for who they are or am I trying to change that person for who they are, which could be loved one, friends, family, mom, dad, whatever. And the other way, am I trying to be changed because they want something different from me and they're not accepting who I am as a person. And when we have that dislodge of a lack of acceptance, both ways, one way, wherever it may be, then you have to really look at, one, your place in life. You have to look at the purpose that you're getting from this. You have to look at whether you're forcing what is an acceptance. So you're saying, okay, this person claims to love me, but this person needs me to be this way, this way, this way, this way, which is not who I am. Which means then you're trying to be another shape of a person of who you are and effectively trying to create a love for that person to fall in love with, which again is in the shape of who you are. Then what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean if you're doing that in your life? If you're trying to force someone to love you by trying to remold, reshape the very essence, emotional essence of who you are as a person, Deb?
Yeah, I mean, you know, while you were talking there, I was thinking about this word acceptance, and we're talking about accepting other people. But, you know, the first thing in the road to recovery for yourself, if you've had any kind of, which we all have in certain ways, and I'm using the word lightly, but trauma or, you know, because trauma doesn't have to be an actual one event. It can be an ongoing something, but that's a whole nother story. But, you know, our road to recovery is acceptance of ourselves first. Like, how many, you know, I look at myself and there's certain aspects of me that I don't accept, and that's not good. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, people get confused, I think, with, you know, when you accept something, it means that it has to stay that way. That's not the case when we're talking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I can look at myself and there's certain things that I don't accept about myself. So what I would need to do is to accept them first before I can change them. If I want to change them, So you're talking about acceptance of everybody else, Paul, but what about acceptance of yourself, of who you are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of us are perfect. We're not meant to be. It's not what we come here for. We're not meant to be perfect. We're meant to grow, and not grow into perfection either, you know, in one life. But my feeling there is, you know, how about talking about acceptance of yourself, of the things that you don't like? Because when you accept it first, then you can change it if you want to. I mean, and you were talking about other people not accepting you for who you are. I'm not saying you, but you mm-hmm. said about people accepting us. What it is everybody has a different version of us. Everybody is looking at us from the outside and we're being seen from the outside. And I think this is a lot of where the problems lie in relationships, not just romantic relationships, but all relationships. It's because everybody sees us in their own way. And maybe that's not the truth of who we are. And I think that's why there's a lot of disagreements with people, because, you know, we're saying this is that person, this person is this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't think that they're that. Do you see what I mean? So it gets a bit complicated. But what I feel here is acceptance of yourself. I mean, how, on a scale, Paul, of 1 to 100, where are you in accepting yourself?
Well, right now, I would say I'm about an 8 compared to where I was.
So 80%.
80%, yes. If I go back beginning of this year, I assumed I had full acceptance. Now, I assumed that I was well in line with myself, well in tune to where I am as a person. But the realization, listeners, and catch this. You know, 20 years running a business, I am probably near maybe late hundreds, perhaps early thousands of people that I've worked with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, probably more into the thousands if I included audiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then come January, I decided to not shut my business, well, effectively shut my business and come out and do more stuff for myself. And 99% of my communication with people I thought were friends have gone.
Right.
Now, let's think about that. So if I was to open up my connections in my phone, I have hundreds or maybe into thousands of connections. And some of these people, you know, I was weekly, daily communicating with. The moment I decided to say, well, okay, our relationship, I thought was more than business, you know, as effectively gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Now, I'm not blaming those people at all. I
set it up that way.
I set it up. Yes, exactly. Because I needed to be liked. I needed to be, you know, I was this business person that was doing everything for people to want to like me, product.
Your whole worth was in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you said that, you know, we've been together 20 years, and out that 20 years, we probably spent maybe 4 or 5 years together. The rest have been in the same home but apart because of my addiction, basically, to my business, with an addiction to people that actually really didn't have any care for me because they weren't in a relationship with the true me. They're in a relationship with a version that was making them feel good.
Right, so by making them feel good, you felt good, but where's the substance in that?
And there's not, is there?
And not only that, you know, I mean, you've said to me before, you know, well, I've said to you, I don't actually need you, Paul, and I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you first hear that, people are like, what do you mean? You know, but I don't need you. I'm with you because I want to be with you, not because I need to be with you. But when when people have relationships where there's a need from each other and a trade and I'll give you this, you give me that, you know, then it's not authentic, is it?
Wow. And then I think about, I wonder how many people, not just in personal relationships, but in business relationships, in partnerships, in any kind of ship with another person, are actually there, not because they choose to be there, but because they have to be there. One for their own self-worth, one for hope, you know. Opportunity, I believe true opportunity comes from a choice of two people choosing not desperately coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I learned from my 20 years of running a business is the 20 years of it was done really with individuals that I felt had the same commonality as me of that time, which is just about doing something on the hope that we could do something together that would elevate us both and get us out of the fracturing of a lack of worth.
Right. And I was just, that's what I was going to say before. I remember now, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that we were talking earlier as well about choosing to be with you daily.
Yeah.
I am choosing daily to be with you. You are choosing daily to be with me. You know, and so many people have ownership in their relationships.
Yeah.
Do you need it?
Yeah, let's jump into this commercial, because when we come back, listeners, we're going to go back into, I love this whole choosing thing, Deb. It's absolutely beautiful. So we're going to be back in about a minute and a half.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tennis Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days and welcome back. Yes, you with myself, Paul Rees, and of course my beautiful wife, Deborah Sinead Rees, on UK Health Radio. Don't forget to listen to for all the other presenters and all the other amazing shows that go on here every single week, almost, or it could be 24 hours a day. Yes, you got it. It's there. You don't even need to sleep, although you should. Although I struggle with my sleep lately, man. Do you know what? I am now probably going to the bathroom about 3 to 4 times a night.
Do you know what keeps coming to my head? And it's in a very respectful way. But, you know, listeners, give us an email if you think Paul's a little bit ADHD, loves.
Do you know, I don't know what I am, but I'm certainly not right, that's for sure. But then what is right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
What is right? But we were talking about choosing. And here's the thing is that, So let's go to the basics of things also. And I've said this and I say it again. Many people who are married didn't get married because they're in love. They got married because they're looking for love. So, and then many people in relationships of all kinds are looking for something. So,
Wait,
let me just come in, sorry. Okay. Because then the reduction of what actually choosing is reduces so much because people are not choosing then. They are reacting into desperation.
Yeah, they're reacting into, but I have to disagree with you a little bit on the fact that you think that, you know, people get married because they're looking for love, they're not in love. I think people believe they are in love when they get married. I think they believe that they are, and some people are. You know, I think that, you know, it's all depending. You know, people band the word love around, and to be honest, I don't think the majority of us know what it is. I don't think they know what it is. I think, you know, and I agree with you, because then you get to a point in a relationship where it's like, you know, you're staying out of desperation for one need or another.
Mm-hmm.
So I get
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I get that. But I think that, you see, if you are a whole person yourself, you don't need anything from someone else.
Wow. All that thought. If you're a whole person yourself, you don't need something from someone else. Whether you're seeing then relationships are null and void?
No, absolutely not. You see, that's the thing. The perfect relationship is where, if anything's perfect, is where two people are whole within themselves. They come together for, and what they're looking for is growing together. They're not looking for something from each other. I you know, it's a trade, you know, and it's an unspoken, even subconscious trade that everybody's doing. You give me this, I'll give you that. Right? But when you're a whole person, then you don't need that trade going on. So you come together and it's much more healthy. And it's, you know, this is where real love is coming in, and you choose to spend your time together to grow together.
Wow.
That's what it should be. And that's what it's really not.
The majority of it. Yeah. Isn't that for sure?
No. And let's go back to that word love, because what is love, Paul?
Love for me is an experience where your desire, your want, your purpose is for the person you're with to love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So me loving you, and I've not had this before ever in my life.
Me neither.
So I know that I love making you love you. That for me is what love is.
Mm-hmm. And that's that's really lovely. And that's really, you know, it's not the majority's thought. So that's really good. But do you know what? Somebody else can't make you love you. Only you can make you love you.
I think the word make is the wrong word.
Help or assist or something.
Or wish. Like that. I don't know. I don't know. I think, for me, love is when you're in a relationship and it's pretty unconditional. And love is in a relationship where when you're with someone, you just never stop seeing that person.
Mm-hmm. You see, for me, love is it's not an emotion. It feels like an emotion, mm-hmm. but actually true unconditional love is not an emotion. It's an energy. And it's difficult to explain. And I'm still, you know, of course, I'm still trying to learn it. And I'm not talking about romantic love now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about love. Love for the planet. Love for everybody. Love, you know what I mean? That kind of love. And, you know we love people. I know I love my three sisters. I know I love my husband. I know, you know what I mean? You know you love them. But what is that energy? And what does it feel like?
Yeah. Okay, wow. For me, then love feels like, it feels, oh, let me just get this, listeners, it's a hard one. Mm-hmm. No, actually, it's not hard. It's just, when you think about love, it's so big within you, it feels like some multiple of things that make up love for me.
Right.
And I guess it's acceptance, for one.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's choice, it's purpose, understanding. I don't know, it's so much, but I think I have to go back to and say one of the greatest assets for me in what love is my role, my what I love about the relationship is that I just enjoy helping you love you. Listen, you give me, there's a trade-off here. You give me freedom. You give me choices, and you know you're very easy in my choices for me.
And that's how it should be, because that is becoming unconditional, isn't it? So if you want to go off for 3 months, you know, you see, just because we're together,
bear with us when you say that, the listeners, going off for 3 months.
Oh right, sorry, yeah, on a tour, or you know, biking or hiking, or you know, for your own growth and your own in a journey, like you were saying, not just swanning off, it's different. But now I've lost the plot.
I tell you, it's funny how you go into it. You're on a thread there, you were, and all of a sudden you just lose it.
I think that's menopausal brain. I really do. You know, other women are talking about it as well. Your mind goes completely blank. There's nothing there. And you're trying to scrabble to find what you were talking about. It just goes.
Do you think men can have menopausal brain also? Because, you know, I've had that fracturing of thoughts. I'm in full flight and it just goes. Well, actually, right now, listeners, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, before I went into this respite, I was opening the screen of my computer up, Deb, and when I did that, my whole mind just closed down like a curtain in front of me, like a wall. And I just basically could not get any thoughts. Now, many people would say that's like a breakdown, you know, an emotional breakdown. But I didn't feel unhappy. I didn't feel I was having a breakdown. But what I did feel was that the computer screen was just sucking the life out of me.
Yeah, and you know, I think that I don't think it was a breakdown at all. I think that it was a wake up.
Wow.
Rather than a breakdown.
The other way. So instead of being a thought closure, it was a thought opener.
Yeah, because, you know, all the time that I've been with you, you know, it was always business. I mean, you would do 12, 14 hours every day. You'd be here, you know, at 5 o'clock sometimes in front of your computer. And you,
that's 5 a.m.
5 a.m. And then you would, you know, after dinner in the evening, you would be back in till about 8 o'clock. You know, it was just, and I felt like a kind of business widow, I guess. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it at the time because I was just so used to it. But looking back now, but what I feel from this wake up is, you know, your inner self just wasn't going to do it anymore. So like the front of your head, the front of your brain wanted to continue doing what you were doing. And there was some part of your being that said, no, we're not doing that anymore because it's not good for us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's, and that's why your brain would shut down when you open your computer, you know, or went to do something business, you know, like your being was screaming at you, no, we're not doing this anymore because there's no growth in it, you know? So I think it's a really good thing. And to be honest, you know, the way that you've been gradually getting over these last 6 months has been amazing for me because I feel like I've got my husband back, probably for the first time, where I like the fact that you're doing what you need to do for you, rather than having to placate something within you that is a habit of worth.
Yeah.
When it's not really, it's a pseudo worth. It's not a real worth.
Pseudo worth, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Pseudo worth. You know, I found that, you know, even when I open up, like LinkedIn was my platform, my playground as a business person, and I've not opened up LinkedIn in at least 4 months.
Mm.
When I do open it up, I can almost get anxiety.
Yeah.
I get stressed with it.
So what will happen is your mind will remember what you felt like when you were in it.
Yeah.
So you must have been in that anxiety in it all the time.
Yeah, but camouflaging that with this high energy that I have. I'm naturally a high energy person. I do know that.
Yeah.
But also I feel there was a percentage of high energy that was there for other people, not for myself. But
you were getting a payoff for it of, you know, that they were propping up your worth.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many changes in our world happening right now, not to go too far into it, but there is. AI is massively changing the knowledge industry, massively changing the human input of the knowledge industry and superseding it in many ways. And, you know, if you are out there and you think that it's not going to have any effect on your coaching business, I beg you to please look hard into the power and the surge of growth, you know, with ChatGPT and everything that comes there. And you really need now to be grabbing your content creation and putting it into a YouTube channel before YouTube becomes exhausted with AI bots, basically. It's going to go away there. Anyway, I'm not going to go too far into that. That's not what this show is about. This show is about acceptance and it's about choosing and it's about growth and all those
That's
things.
That's what I was going to say. So we're using the word unconditional. So, you know, with you going away and doing you and having what you need, obviously in a relationship there's compromise and, you know, you need two people in it to be, you know, for want of better words, pulling their weight.
Yeah.
For want of better words. But, you know, just because you're in a marriage with somebody doesn't mean to say that the other person owns you or you own them. And a lot of people feel that way. You know, it's kind of like I am doing my best to be unconditional with you. So if you need to go away for your health and your growth and your well-being, then who am I to stop you?
We do have a trust, mate. That's something we do have, me and you.
Yeah.
You know, we've worked. Actually, we didn't have to really work on trust.
In the beginning, we did because of me. But
that was your insecurity.
Yeah,
that wasn't a lack of trust. That was different. I think that's very different.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, it, you know, there was nothing that you did that was untrustworthy. So it was my stuff, and I knew that.
And all I had to do was know what that looked like, understand it, and help that to be dissolved.
Yeah.
Because again, it was nothing about our marriage.
No, it wasn't.
Because trust is basically a false emotion that has to be fed. Trust isn't a lack of trust. A lack of trust isn't a real emotion. It's like fear.
It is fear.
Yeah. So when you have a lack of trust in your life, it means that someone or even yourself is feeding it through the emotion of past fear or make believe future fear.
Right. But, you know, there are people, you know, in couples that have every right to be, you know, have a lack of trust because of the other person's behaviour. But again, it's down to you to stay with that person.
Well, when you say down to you, a choice that you make.
It's a choice that you're making. If somebody has proven to be untrustworthy and it's constant or it's, you know, ongoing, then you have to make a choice there of whether you stay or not. You see, but what I believe is that the more unconditional you can be in your marriage and knowing that your partner, your husband, your wife is choosing to be with you today.
Mm-hmm.
They're choosing to be with you tomorrow. They don't have to.
Yeah.
But so many people forget that. And then it's like, oh, this bugs me about them. Or they do this and that, you know, and there's no acceptance there of the other person. And it's all this power struggling and trying to change the other person. Mm-hmm. When actually, you know, that's the quickest way to kill a marriage. You give the person the space and time to be themselves. And you know what you get back? You get back more love from that person. And if you don't, and if they take advantage of that, well, then again, you need to make a choice. You see, but you are not in control of your partner. You are not in control of their life. You know, you've said to me, I want to go on holiday. And you've said to me, well, Deb, you know, you can go on holiday by yourself if need be, because mm-hmm. you've got the dogs and everything. You know, that's just allowing me to do something that I want to do. Mm-hmm. I allow you to do things that you want to do. So then, you know, it's like if you keep somebody on a tight leash, they're just going to run, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not your job to do that. If you know, also on that note as well, obviously the practicalities need to be in there. So, you know, your finances and all of that need to be taken into account. But I'm just talking about the smaller and the bigger things that people want to do in their life or want to be. And, you know, and the other person is saying, no, we're not doing that. And you're not doing that. And, you know, it just resentment builds up. And resentment is the killer of marriages.
But then when we think about that, because I want to talk about trust also in a sec. But when we think about resentment, that comes from the word no. And the word no is something you experience the very early days of your life.
Mm-hmm.
From as far back as you can remember.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we are given a no, you cannot, and no, it's actually got nothing to do with that person. It's everything about yourself, your past.
Yeah.
Because we can't say no to someone to doing something when that experience effectively has no effect in our life.
Right, but people do, Paul. They do. You know, people in marriages, you know, it's like, I want to go away for a couple of days. No, we don't do that. You're not doing that.
Then that's the lack of trust from the other person to the person that wishes to go away.
Yes.
Or jealousy. And again, jealousy is something that you inherit from the younger part of your life.
Yes, it is.
Because it's a made-up emotion.
I mean, all of it is the conditioning. You know, if you are, this is what I mean by, when you are feeling whole within yourself, you don't need anything from anybody, you are more able to unconditionally love someone. Because you're not needing anything from them. I don't need you to be here day in, day out in order for me to feel safe in this relationship.
Wow, I love it, Deb. Let me just pop into our last commercial, listeners. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the power of trust. Also, I want to touch on deceit and all these beautiful things that we experience in our lifetime. Happy days. Ah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days and welcome back. Yes, you with Paul Rees on UK Health Radio with my amazing sidekick and everything that she is, my wife. Yes, we are here and we've been, and we have the we have the dogs in the room and they're having a bit of a scrap and everything's going on. But hey, it's been an amazing show and we are just touching into, we've touched on so much. If you just join us, please pop back to the beginning. And also don't forget that there's some amazing shows on UK Health Radio, amazing presenters running 24 hours a day practically. Yes, we are. And I want to talk about deceit. Now, it's a big word, negative word, you know, but also I want to put it in a way where it's more understanding, because deceit comes from not the lack of the person you're with, but the lack of the person that does it. So deceit is not because you're not good enough. The person that gets deceited, if that's a word, it's not their fault. It's the fault of... No, I won't take the word fault away. That's such a negative way to put it. You see, because deceit is comes from a lack of self-worth, a lack of understanding, and let me put it another way, listeners. When partners get together, when really it's not a match.
Yeah.
Forced relationship is like what I'd like to call it.
I mean, we spoke about that. I mean, forced relationship, I guess, is when people go into the relationship for different reasons other than just loving this person. It's like, oh, they've got money, or oh, she looks great, or he looks great, or, you know, so you're going in for different reasons. I mean, that's always probably going to fail because you haven't got a foundation there. But deceit, I want you to tell me, like, if you don't mind, what deceit are we talking about?
Well, you know, deceit, you're right. There's so many versions of it.
Yes.
You know, emotional, physical, mental, monetary. It goes on and on, deceit does. But basic deceit for me is when someone creates an action, event or a doing that is out of alignment to the purpose of them being together.
Okay.
That's what deceit is for me.
Okay, so...
When you break that alignment, or there may not be alignment there in the first place.
Right.
Because you can try and force an alignment in a relationship, force a togetherness.
Yeah, but how do you know? You know, because a lot of the time what we're dealing with is your subconscious mind. You know, you might not actually sit there and go, well, I'm only with this person because they have money, or I'm only with this person because they have a house and I need one. You know, sometimes it's just it's all very complicated, because sometimes it's just the conditioning of the person that's making them get into the relationship in the first place. They need security, or they need this, or they need, you see, again, it's this
then it's
need.
Karma. There's karma
right,
within that.
Because then there's this need. So, you know, it's really difficult because there's so many scenarios out there. You know, we're talking about deceit. What about if somebody, I don't know, let's put it this way. What if a husband is being abused all the time, you know, and he's being abused emotionally, physically, mentally all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to work and there's somebody that's, you know, really is really lovely with him, and mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Okay, I get the fact that, you know, if you're going to do something with somebody else, leave.
Yeah.
I get that. But what if this guy is worried about his kids? There's three kids at home. She's abusive with them as well. You know, it's not... Do you see what I mean? There's just so many intricate reasons and intricate scenarios. You know, he can't leave because he's worried about his children. He can't take the kids because of X, Y, and Z. He's scared of her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I guess there's not so much... It's not so black and white and cut and dried. So if this man is being deceitful in that way, it's because his wife is being deceitful to him in a way of being abusive to him.
Then that's karma. That's
right.
Different.
Right. So do you see what I mean? It's not black and white. Oh, this person has cheated.
Yeah.
You know, well, why have they cheated? Have they cheated because that's who they are? Have they cheated because they wanted an ego boost? Have they cheated because of the scenario I've just said that's going on at home? Do you see?
So deceit then, wow, I love this because... So let's say, I don't know, I go into marriage and say, oh, I'm marrying this person because she got money. Then I'm going to get karma for that because I've now restricted the opportunity of a person that I'm marrying to actually fall in love with someone that's going to love them.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to get karma for that, not them.
Yep.
And let's say I've gone into marriage. And any kind of forced purpose to going into marriage means that that person is going to get karma. So if that person then, if the other person that's got money decides to be deceitful... Okay, that's my karma also because I was deceitful in the first place.
Exactly.
You can only be deceited if you are deceiting. So let's say
I'm
with you and you know, I don't love you, you're abusive to me, but I'm staying with you instead of having my own strength, and now I'm being deceitful to myself for one.
Yeah.
I'm being deceitful for you because I don't love you.
Yeah.
So it means that as wrong as you are to me, I'm still preventing you from finding somebody else because I'm staying here. Now, the word fear is made up. It's a made up emotion. So I still should be more loyal to myself. And basically, but by being deceitful to myself, by staying with you because I don't want to stay you, means I'm stopping you from finding somebody else. I'm going to be deceited on because I'm already deceiting you.
Yeah, I love your words.
See, it's all karma.
Deceited and
deceit. And being deceited too is all karma and nothing else.
Right. But, you know, there are the ones where, you know, somebody, for all the right reasons, gets into a relationship, is lovely to that person, and they still, you know, somebody is deceitful or cheats on them.
But that person wasn't meant for them in the first place. So they still have to force love. They're still trying to force love out to someone that doesn't love them. So there's still an element of control.
I get that. But maybe the person that's being lovely and whatever goes in and they think that the other person loves them. And so they go in innocently thinking this other person loves them.
Wow, this is a whole can of worms and we've only got a minute left.
I know, but what I'm trying to say here is that it's not as black and white and cut and dried as people think. But you are so right. If you get into a relationship for the wrong reason and you know you're getting in for the wrong reason, then you'll have some karmic return in that.
Wrong doing, wrong back. Simple as that. No matter, and we can convince ourselves that we didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And that's our ego, our negative ego.
Yeah.
And people for, you know, listeners, for you to understand the word deceit, you have, and if you've been deceited too, then you have to understand how have you deceited in the first place.
There is that.
Absolutely. This has been such a full-on comeback show, Deb.
I know.
I mean, we've covered so much, listeners, and we'll be back this time next week for sure.
In the meantime, you know, start researching or studying acceptance.
Absolutely. And do drop the station email. Let's have some feedback from you. Let us know what you think of the show. Do you want any changes? Drop in some subjects that you'd like us to talk about. Send your comments to the station so they can feed them back to me and Deb, and we can talk about anything is that you want us to deep dive into. So now this is your show, not just ours, so please send your comments into the show. What would you like us to cover? What subjects would you like us to deep dive into? And we'll do that for you on a week-to-week basis. So drop them in there. Let your hand know what it is you want me and Deb to dive into, and boom! We'll be there for you.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Ha! Let's leave it to it again, Deb.
Boom, boom.
Until next week. Bye for now. Emotions are-